WATD-FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
This is a WATD political forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
And good evening and welcome to a WATD political forum. I'm your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined by reporter Charles Mathewson. Good evening. Hi. And Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi asking questions. Good evening, Mr. Tachi. The election race is for the 12th Plymouth District. Democrat incumbent Kathy Alnatra is here. Good evening. And Republican challenger, and that's Eric Moschino, both running in the general election this fall. Timing you all, we have our own Lenny Rowe. He's the man over there with the green, red, and yellow cards. And tonight we're joined by media partner Area 58 Cable. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. That's Larry Nelson on the board here doing our engineering. Now, our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready, no longer than a two-minute open and a one-minute close. Then we have a round of questions from the reporters and a lightning round where answers are either yes or no or two sentences tops. And remember, during your regular portion where we're asking questions, it's one-minute tops for the answers. We chose opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie just moments ago. We're going to begin with Eric Moschino and then go to Kathy Alnatra. And just if folks are not sure if they live in the 12th Plymouth District.
Well, where is the 12th District?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, and I'll read you where it is, because I believe, is it the biggest area? I guess, does it spread out the biggest area of Plymouth County?
In Plymouth County, yes.
Yes, I believe so. Okay. And 12th Plymouth District is Halifax, Precincts 1 and 2A, Kingston, Middleborough, Precincts 1 and 5A, Pembroke, Precinct 3, Plymouth, Precincts 1, 2, 3, 5, 13, and the town of Plimpton. Now, just to make it clear, there is another person on the ballot tonight. It's a non-party candidate, Charles McCoy of Kingston. He has not responded to numerous phone calls or even a mailed attempt to reach him, so we don't see him here tonight. Let's begin now with the opening statement and go to Eric. Good evening.
Good evening. It's an honor to be here. I'm Eric Moschino, born and raised here on the South Shore. I'm a proud dad. I'm a commercial lobster fisherman, graduate of Boston College High School, got my college degree. I've worked in Manhattan as a stockbroker. I've been to the Grand Banks on a Hannah Bowden with Linda Greenlaw, for anybody that's familiar with The Perfect Storm. I am fiercely independent. I'm here because I don't think we're being well represented by the current state legislative body, and it's time for a change. I hear people say that we need some new ideas, some fresh ideas. I disagree. I think it's time to revisit basic civics and take a good long look at the Constitution of the United States of America. We're barraged with ideas like DEI and CRT. First off, these ideas have no place in our schools. CRT is an overt attempt to institutionalize racism. And DEI, well, we're the most diverse, tolerant, inclusive country on the planet already. We all have equal rights as codified by the Constitution. We have real issues here. Infrastructure, drugs, crazy taxes, illegal immigration, government overreach, and so on. As a small business owner, I understand the pain of the inflation, the increase in taxes, gas prices, whatever. As a dad, I thank God on a daily basis my children are no longer in the public school system here. We have real problems. I think based on my opponent's voting record, I can do a better job. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Eric Moschino opening statement. Now let's go to Kathy Alnatra.
Thank you. Hi, I'm State Representative Kathy Alnatra, and I want to start by thanking WATD and Area 58, actually, for hosting today. It's been an honor serving you over the past 4 years. Since I took office, we've faced some tough times in our community, especially during COVID-19, but we've overcome them together. I'm especially proud of my work connecting small businesses and individuals in need of resources, like PPP loans, unemployment benefits, mental health services, and more. Over my first two terms, I've built strong relationships with colleagues on both sides of the aisle at the State House, as well as with community leaders and organizations in the district. And as we've recovered together, I'm proud of what we've accomplished on Beacon Hill. After the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, we passed legislation to protect women's reproductive rights and keep Massachusetts a national leader on this issue. We've committed to making Massachusetts carbon neutral by 2050 to fight climate change. And we've delivered millions of funding for our schools, our first responders, our mental health programs, and more. I come from a family of public servants. My husband, Mike, is a Kingston police officer. I served on the Kingston Select Board, Affordable Housing Trust, and Rec Commission before taking office as your state representative. And I still make time to volunteer at the Council of Aging, as I've done for many years. It would be an honor to continue serving you, and I look forward to our discussion this evening.
Thank you very much. That was Kathy Lenatra, her opening statement. Now we're going to go to questions from reporters. Kevin Tachi, questions for the candidates.
That was Mr. Moschino. I think you listed off a number of things, but I kind of felt like a lot of what you were mentioning were like federal issues. Is there a main state or local issue, a set of issues that have motivated you to run for office?
There's a host of issues that have motivated me.
As a small business owner in the fishing community, we do get overrun by federal regulation, which is now driving the state to overregulate us. So we just got a nice closure for our lobster fishery that goes from February 1 through May 15th. Now, we've had a closure that affected the South Shore guys out through Cape Cod, but the state just increased that closure from Scituate all the way up through to the border of New Hampshire. So, yeah, it's federal and state.
So let's say fishing and the fishing industry would probably be one of the primary motivators for you to run, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's say you're elected. November 8th comes and the votes come in. You're elected. What's your plan to tackle issues when it comes to the fishing industry?
Well, the first thing we need to do is get real science out there. We are hamstrung by this new phrase. It's the best available science. And you look at the science that they bring forward to us, and it's just so murky and so biased, if you will. And it doesn't actually address the most important facts, especially, well, with regards to the lobster fishery in particular. Mm-hmm. But it's similar across the board. It's just like I exist in this microcosm of the commercial fishing industry, and I can draw parallels from one to the next, and it doesn't stop. It's like the same playbook. You know, whether it's in schools, whether it's a trucking industry, it doesn't matter. It's similar across the board. So we gotta find, you know, what the issues are and find the real facts and cut through the nonsense. Okay. And make small businesses able to go to work.
Okay. Kathy, my question to you is, when you first ran two terms ago, was there an issue, a set of issues that motivated you to run for office?
Quite a few. Mental health, which is still very important to me. I have a few bills. I have the officer wellness bill for the police department. It's still a major concern. COVID-19 only exacerbated it. We've just passed a wonderful mental health bill that puts more funding in and actually recruits some licensed mental health counselors, which we're lacking. We're really lacking. We're lacking psychiatrists. We're lacking a lot here. We have staffing shortages everywhere. So I've worked really hard on a lot of bills, especially that large mental health bill that we passed recently.
So would you say that if you are elected, that the old issues that you're attempting to tackle will be supplanted by new ones? What are those new ones, and what's your plan of attack if you're elected, reelected?
Mental health still, I think that's in the forefront. With that bill, we'll be recruiting some licensed mental health counselors and putting them in the schools and for our seniors. And hopefully we can get this bill passed for our first responders and our police officers. I think that would be wonderful. But again, the economy. As you know, I was a small business owner for many, many years, more than half of my life, so it's very important to me that they succeed. They're the bread and butter of our local communities, and I work really hard to make sure that they get what they need, especially during COVID-19 with the PPP loans. We connected people with resources to get them through. Okay.
Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
Let's jump into the ballot questions. What about number one, the so-called millionaire's tax? Kathy?
So So the Fair Share Amendment, I think, is what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
So what the Fair Share Amendment will do is anybody that makes over the $1 million, so say you make $1,300,000, so that $300,000 will have an excess of tax of 4%. This only affects maybe 2% of the 12th Plymouth District, but what those funds will do, well, they'll help fund our school, transportation, bridges, colleges, and public education. And just to say, I drive over that bridge down the Cape at least 3 times a week to visit my mother, and it's pretty scary. It's really scary. And I just heard that we didn't get the federal funds for that, to replace that bridge. So it's really important that we have these extra funds in the state to deal with the state bridges. Especially, you know, I have a daughter that just turned 16, got her car, first car. I'm concerned about the roads that she's on. I'm concerned about those potholes like we all are. So I think this is a great opportunity to get those funds to fix our bridges, our roads, and really help with our schools.
Eric, the ad on TV opposing question one features a commercial lobsterman. How do you feel about question one?
Well, first of all, don't we have like a couple $1 billion sitting around already? Why do we need to raise taxes on anybody? If I sell my business for $1 million, I got to give up an extra $40,000. Why are we punishing these people? These people already pay more than everybody else. I don't like it. We don't need any more taxes. We need to figure out what's wrong and spend the money wisely.
Okay, follow up on that. Not everyone is a small business owner, but many people own their own houses, and the sale of a house would be included in that $1 million. Yes?
So the sale of the house is going to, it's in the economic bill to go to $2 million when you, for the tax when you sell your home.
Thank you for that clarification. Eric?
What's your question?
I don't know. Well, selling a house or a business would put you over $1 million.
And why tax you at that point? We're already paying taxes. I pay taxes on everything I earn. I pay taxes for unemployment. I pay taxes on things I buy with money I've already paid taxes on, and they want to tax me more? Why? We already have a graduated tax system. These people already pay their fair share.
Actually, the state tax is not progressive.
Let him finish. Okay, is there another question here? Or is it just a conversation?
Well...
Is there another question?
No.
Okay. All right, now I'm going to ask some questions. All right. Let's start with the question I love to ask each time. How would you describe yourself? What type of Democrat are you? Are you progressive? Are you moderate?
Are you looking at me?
Yes, I am. Oh. I am. Tell me, how would you describe yourself?
I would describe myself as a common sense Democrat. You know, I'm a moderate Democrat. I do the best I can for my 12th district, all my constituents, no matter what side of the aisle they sit on.
Okay, that's Kathy Lodge. Same question for you, Eric. What kind of Republican are you? How would you describe yourself politically?
Constitutional capitalist.
Okay, now we know where everybody stands on this. During your opening statement, you talked about critical race theory. So this will be a two-part question. First minute, I want you to tell me what you believe critical race theory is, and then second minute, I want you to tell me whether you support it or don't support it and why.
I'm going to answer the questions in reverse. I don't support it.
Okay.
I believe it's an overt attempt to institutionalize racism in an effort to break down individual identity, which sounds like I should be wearing a tinfoil hat. But there's no, why? We grew up being taught racism was bad, and now this movement aims to teach children to either think they're a victim because they're a certain race, or that they're bad because they're a different race. And it happens to target primarily white and black and saying that's the only disparity in the country, when white people aren't even at the top of the economic food chain. We have Chinese, Indian. These people do a lot better in terms of success rates in business. Their family structures are more solid. You know, why is it just the white and black?
You have another minute if you want to talk about that.
No.
Okay. All right. Same question, Kathy. First, tell me how you define what critical race theory is and whether you support it or not.
Well, Honestly, I think it's a flash word to scare people into not teaching systemic racism. You know, we have history. We learn from our mistakes. I was in Germany and visited a Holocaust museum and also a camp. And one of the quotes there, we all know, if we don't learn from our mistakes, we're deemed to repeat them, right? So I believe in teaching history, the truth about history, but I think that CRT is just a flash word to scare people.
Okay.
And we're not teaching critical race theory.
Do you support it?
Well, we're not teaching it, but
do you,
I do.
Would you support it in the schools?
I support teaching history, real history, the facts.
Let's go back now to Kevin Tachi. By the way, you're listening to a political forum here. It's the race for the 12th Plymouth District. You've got the incumbent Democrat, Kathy Lenatra, and her Republican challenger, Eric Moschino. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi.
Let's talk a little bit about decommissioning the nuclear power station, Pilgrim. It's an ongoing concern, whether it's the spent fuel rods, moving them into concrete storage casks, or an attempt to dispose of some 1 million gallons of contaminated water into Cape Cod Bay. I'll start with you, Kathy, as being a state representative, while it's not something you can do by yourself, what have you done in regards to this particular situation, whether it's either a call to action or working with others? What have you done as a state representative in regards to this situation?
Thank you, Kevin. I actually filed legislation to stop Holtec from dumping in our bay. I've been very involved with Save Our Bay. We just actually, both Eric and I came from in the rally because there is an NDCAP meeting to this evening, which we're missing, but I'm sure my staff will fill me in. I've done many things. I brought in the federal delegation. We had a hearing here in Plymouth at the State House. I'm not sure if any of you were there, but it involved everybody. We involved the community. There's more and more people involved, and it's great. You know, they're having their voices heard. But we're working very hard with them. Attorney General Maura Healey is in charge of that. Hopefully, when she becomes governor, she's said we're not going to allow them, and I believe her.
Eric, if you are successful on November 8th, what role do you feel that you should play as a state representative when it comes to a situation like this, decommissioning Pilgrim?
We'd have to force the hand of our federal reps. This is a federal issue. This is NRC, and this is awesome. I love this, because one of the biggest problems in our government, I like federal. We have all these bureaucracies that are populated by people who we don't vote for, that answer to no one. And they get to make decisions in somewhat of a vacuum as to how we all live our lives. I don't like that at all. So I would go a different route. I would say, where is Elizabeth Warren? Where is Maura Healey? I know they've been out there, they've been speaking about this, but they went to the airport a couple of years ago when an Iranian doctor was taken off a plane by Customs and Border Protection. It made a huge stink about a guy who's on the terrorist watch list. He's a bad guy. He was hooked into all kinds of bad organizations in Iran. They're fighting for him. They should have been at the meeting tonight with Kathy and I, fighting for us. That's the pressure we need to apply. Those are the people who are going to do this.
Any follow-up with that? Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
Let's jump in the water here. What about vertical buoy ropes, not boy, not female?
I don't know what that is. I'm lobster, yeah. Right whales.
Yeah, the right.
Well,
let's start with you, Eric. There's a move to ban vertical buoy ropes.
There is. What do you want to know about it?
Well, I assume you do not support that move.
So,
why?
All right, so here's some quick facts. In the past 40 years, there's been one North Atlantic right whale mortality attributed to U.S. lobster gear. In the past 30 years, there's been 3 minor entanglements in mass waters, all resolved without injury to the animal. The lines that are involved in this, 5/8-inch floating line or greater, and mostly in the entanglements. The mortalities are almost exclusively that when it comes to entanglement. I fish heavy gear for this area at 7/16. It's not even half the size of 5/8 by cross-section. My line sinks. It'd be like me shooting somebody with a 45 caliber gun and Kathy getting arrested because she owns a 22 caliber gun. But they don't look at that. This is the type of information that exonerates the Massachusetts fishing fleet and the Maine fishing fleet, for that matter. So I think it's ridiculous, it's unnecessary, and even if they do it, it's not going to save the whales, because the biggest problem is cruise ships. Well, maybe not cruise ships specifically, but the shipping industry.
Kathy, how do you feel about right whales versus lobsters?
Well, I enjoy lobster, I'm not going to lie. I enjoy lobster, and I enjoy a whale watch, too. How do we do that? But to say the two, but, you know, lobstering is a very hard job, and it's part of our blue economy. It's very important here. As well as our fishing industry. I sat with the fishing partnership today, and we went over a lot of things about the fishing industry and the lobster industry and what they endure with their jobs and not having the support that they need and working through pain and a lot of different things. So your question was, which I prefer? You can't make a decision.
Or would you support a ban on vertical lines?
So I really would have to know more about vertical lines, but I do remember that they were coming up with new lines that broke free. Is there one of those that broke?
Yes.
And right, so that's, I did hear something about that. I'd like to learn more about that before I gave you an answer on that. Sorry I didn't study up on that today.
Go right ahead.
So we have to use, it's called the 1,700-pound contrivance, every 60 feet an hour on lines in state waters. Federal waters, it's a little different. And they work. There was a whale watch boat off of Cape Ann that witnessed a juvenile humpback whale getting tangled in some lobster gear. And the whale rolled, broke the line, and swam away. It works. One contrivance might cost us a dollar. These pop-up buoys, if we go without vertical lines, $4,000.
Those are the radio. How do those work?
It's like, operates off of some kind of acoustic signal that you got to send down from your boat.
Right.
If it works. But you know what happens when you mix technology with salt water? Nothing good.
Anything else?
No.
Thank you. I don't know any of this stuff.
I reported on some of those.
Yes, but I don't. Again, I didn't even know buoys, boys, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, next questions. Why do you want this job? What's the payback or reward for you? Eric, what's a payback?
You're all going to love this answer. I don't want this job. I've never had any ambition towards this in my life. I am just tired of getting pushed around and kicked around. I don't like what's going on in the State House. And I got to sit here and listen all the time. Kathy supported us in the fishing industry, but there's so much other stuff that's going on that I don't believe. I don't think it's right. And I want to get in there and tell people that. And even if I don't win, well, then hopefully somebody else will be like, well, that guy tried it. I can do it too. Because we need more people. We need citizen legislators, not career politicians, you know, not people that are just there for the job. Quite frankly, I've taken a huge pay cut this year just to do this. I'm way down in my earnings.
Kathy? What's the payback for you on this job? Why do you want it? Why do you want to stay in the seat?
You know, honestly, it's been an honor of my lifetime to serve as a state rep, and there's so many issues. I will say that 85% of my job is dealing with constituent services, especially during COVID-19. When people called me, they were really in crisis, and I was able to turn around and give them a hand up and connect them with the resources they needed, whether it was food insecurity, homelessness, unemployment benefits, PPP loans. I mean, I could go on. That is so rewarding. The people that I've met just today being in the fishing partnership, those people are amazing. And the different things that people do. We have the homeless shelter on Route 80 with Sue Giovanetti and all these amazing people that do amazing things. And I get to be part of that and connect them with the people that actually need those services. That is huge to me.
Okay. Thank you. Next question, Kevin
Tonchi. I think I want to stay on that that thread. The district, it's spread out over multiple communities, as Christine kind of laid out at the start of this political forum. I will start with you, Kathy. How do you go about spending time in district with so many communities to serve to the time that you spend at the State House? How do you go about that judiciously and keep everybody happy?
Quite honestly, I spend most of my time in the district because that's who needs my help, or my constituents. I'm at the State House while we're in session, when we're in session. I will be at the State House. If there's an event at the State House, I'll be at the State House. Otherwise, you'll find me in the district. I do constituent hours in each one of my communities once a month. I still do my volunteer work. I stop at every senior center at least once a month, and then along with the constituent services, that's what's important. And what's going on in town, keeping abreast of what is going on in my community. Like, who may need my help? They may not reach out, but I may find out that they need help connecting people. But I do fun stuff, too. You know, it's fun stuff in the community as well.
Eric, same question. What's your plan? If you're elected, how do you balance your time, whether it's in district or up at the State House and fighting the good fight? What's your plan?
They spend time at the State House. It's closed for 2 years. You know, I mean...
Moving forward, how's that sound?
You know, honestly, I really don't have a good answer for you on that. It would be a learning curve, without a doubt. I have every intention of continuing with my lobster business at a much reduced pace when I get the seat. And, you know, I'm going to have to figure it out. I honestly don't know.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions?
Related to that, should the legislature be on vacation for 5 months, Kathy?
Should they be on vacation? What is the vacation, Charlie? Because I work 60 hours a week. I've not had a vacation, so I don't understand what you're saying.
You're saying formal versus informal, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's part of our job, right? Part of our job is formal session and to take votes there. Our other part of our job is servicing our community, our district, and that never ends. There's no vacation from that.
Eric?
I agree with Kathy. My sister's already a state rep, and she is nonstop. I bet she puts in more hours than Kathy does.
Well.
It's endless. She's endlessly doing this job, and, you know, there is no vacation. Maybe, like you said, it's formal versus informal.
Joan is pretty good, but shall we have an arm wrestling match here?
No one works harder than me, Charlie. I will never be outworked. That's one thing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Kind of plug in for your sister, State Rep Joan Moschino. Defund the police or defend the police? Let's start with you, Eric. What do you think? Or do nothing, change things? What are your thoughts on that?
Defend them, congratulate them, salute them, honor them. I mean, yeah, of course we have some issues. There's always a bad apple in every bunch. These people literally keep law and order. This doesn't work without law and order. Society crumbles. We've seen that. Kathy said, we've got to learn from history. Every time law and order goes by the wayside, so does society and civility. Defend, always.
Okay. Kathy?
Well, this is a tough question because you know I'm married to a police officer who was a detective in the gang unit in New York City, was there for 9/11, is now in Kingston. We have the dog, so I'm a big supporter of law enforcement. Do there need to be changes? Yes. You know, do they need support? Absolutely. That's one of the reasons I filed that police officer wellness bill, which is really important because it was with Lieutenant James Creed. And hurt people, the way we feel is hurt people, right? If our law enforcement, our first responders aren't getting help after they see a trauma or they've seen a tragedy, how are they going to go back to work? So there's many things. Of course, I will always defend the police, always, but I do think that there needs to be changes and they need support.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a quick commercial break here and be back in just a couple of minutes right here on 95.9 WATD.
Hi, my name is Alex Bazantin, and I'm running for Plymouth County Commissioner. I am the former chairman of the Abington Conservation Commission, former Abington Water Commissioner, and now serving in my second term as Abington Selectman. I am currently serving on the executive board of the Plymouth County Advisory Board. If you would like to learn more about my candidacy, please visit my website at alexbazantin.org or follow me on Facebook. I am Alex Bazantin for Plymouth County Commissioner, and I approve this message.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck, snap back or rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. and thank you.
Invest your time in listening to Cape Retirement Radio and learn a smarter approach to investing so you can protect your future. Cape Retirement Radio, featuring Chris Letond, Thursday nights at 6:15 and Sunday mornings at 10 on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about one out of two men and one out of three women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
McGuigan's Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
Go ahead, indulge yourself. Every Wednesday night, tune in to Talk with Francesca and join me for provocative conversation, intriguing stories, and inspiration. So sit back and relax, or be stimulated, or both, because being connected feels good, and who doesn't need more of that these days? Don't miss Talk with Francesca Wednesday nights at 9 on 95.9 WATD.
WATD's Political Forum continues now. Back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
And thank you. We are back in studio. It's a political forum, the 12th Plymouth District. We have both candidates, the incumbent, Kathy Lenatra. She's a Democrat. And her Republican challenger, Eric Moschino, here in studio. And also joined by media partner, Area 58 Cable. Now, let's go back to Kevin Tauchi. Questions for our candidates.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy. It's been steady, but economists are already warning that the country could be heading into a recession. Sorry, I didn't want to use that word, but it's possible. What role should the legislature play to prepare ahead of our Commonwealth from a financial downturn? We'll start with Eric.
Oh, I'm not quite sure, because we're already in the financial downturn. A recession is defined by two quarterly drops. We're already there. It's not arguable.
What should we do?
Let's work on fuel prices. Let's work on inflation. Let's get people back to work instead of paying people to stay home. You know, let people like me go to work. That'd be great. We got one of our guys wants to put in place where I can get, like, unemployment in the winter because I don't get to go fishing. How about you just let me go to work? Let's get people back to work. That'll solve everything. Stop paying them to stay home on the couch.
Representative, same question. What should the legislature do during, if we're starting to see a downturn? Is there anything that the legislature can do, anything that the state government can do?
Interesting. We just enacted 62F, right? That's only been enacted once.
Well, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen home who don't know what that is, what is that?
When the Commonwealth has over a certain amount of revenue, that money goes back to the taxpayers.
Oh.
So those checks will start coming back to the
stabilization
taxpayers.
Stabilization fund, yes. Nearly $7 billion.
Will start coming back in November. In the economic bill that has yet to be voted on, and we're hoping to do something on that, there's some tax credits too and some tax breaks in that checks will be coming out as well.
But is that enough?
I don't know if that's enough. You know, I wish we could put people back to work. We just don't have enough workers, unfortunately. We just, you know, our baby boomers are aging out, and we don't have enough people entering. Our trades are hurting. Our medical industry is hurting. I mean, we couldn't even get umpires for my son's game. We just have a shortage of workers, and I think we really need to work on that. We do talk about having classes and training like our CNAs. We do need more people into CNAs. I think trade schools are so important, our vocational schools, getting people into our vocational schools, losing the stigma on that, because these kids are entering the workforce. They're making six figures in 5 years, within 5 years, with no school debt, which I think is huge. There's so many avenues for our children to go in. They do not have to go into a two-year or four-year school. So I think that's part of it, is making our trade schools more important. Training is good, but you have to see what the right training is. We may think we know what the training is, but we need to talk to the people that are looking for jobs and looking for the right job. And I'm getting the finger, so.
Oh.
Not the finger, the fingers.
People at home don't know what that. I'm not giving the finger. I'm giving the 5 second countdown. Sorry, we're not quite that wild here yet. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
It could be that wild, but we're not. We're okay. Being good.
Okay.
So, Kevin.
Charles.
You didn't ask about water.
Well, I was waiting. I got to leave something on the table for you.
Oh, jeez. So, let's talk about water. Silver Lake Towns. This has been ongoing for only about 120, 30 years. So, Kathy, are we doing enough for the Silver Lake Towns that you represent?
We're not. Those have heard me speak before. I do have legislation that forces Brockton to hook up to NWRA because they're taking our water. They're taking the water from Silver Lake. They're taking it from Monponset in there. They're using it, and they're not paying for it, and that's huge. And we've been in a drought. If anybody has been around this summer, we've been in the largest drought in years. The temperatures are high, and we really need water as a scarce resource, right? NWRA has tons of it. Hook up, and I just read an article, too, because of the drought, they're not charging to hook up to NWRA. So I think that's really important. That would help our ponds. It would help because we use those for activities. We swim in those ponds. We boat in those ponds. We fish in those ponds. And it's a big resource to Silver Lake.
All right. I have a follow-up for you.
Okay.
But first, Eric, is enough been done to ensure that Brockton does not usurp the water from Silver Lake?
I am honestly not educated on that, so I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay, back to Kathy Lenatra. MWRA might be a great idea. How would you do that physically? Where's the hookup?
Oh, good question. Yeah. Well, it needs to come down. It needs to come down this way, you know? I think it, honestly, MWRA needs to come down more south. We have to put money into that. We really need to help our communities, not just the 12th Plymouth, but there's other communities as well that would benefit.
May I?
Yes.
In fact, in Plymouth, there's a development going up down in Manomet. And the development is right next to an area, a watershed area, that Plymouth was going to utilize. Now they can't because they put the wastewater facility right there. So I think a little bit better management, and this is outside of our district, but it goes to the question you're asking.
Very familiar with that. Okay.
Any more water questions?
Yes, but not for now.
Okay, thank you. I noticed you didn't have your little cup of water. Okay. Here's something I like to ask about. People a lot of times like to talk about things that they want to do. I want to hear something that you've done. Name some kind of a community initiative that you've spearheaded and successfully completed. Kathy.
I've been in the legislature? So I can talk about two things.
Either way.
I was a rec commissioner for over 10 years. We've done many things from digging the dirt to completion. One was basketball courts down at Pottle Street Field. That was really important. And the biggest joy I have is when I drop my son off for baseball is to see how many people utilize those basketball courts. It's huge. It's going on the recreation theme, the Dennett School, they needed, their playground was archaic and they had no playground for the children. So we worked with them to get funds, earmarks, so they could complete their playground. We've also I'm a playground fiend, so there's been like three playgrounds that I've been involved with to see from beginning to finish.
Okay, Eric, something that you've done, spearheaded.
I've been a commercial fisherman for most of my life. My goal was to avoid all of this. and go east and go fishing, go to work, put my head down, live the American dream, and hope that this would all work out. So I've avoided this stuff, and I would say I'm part of the problem because I should have been paying more attention through this entire process my whole life, but I've been naive, thought it would work out, and it seems to be, you know, in my opinion, going the wrong direction. So, no, I haven't done anything like Kathy has along those lines. I've been working, trying to make my way in the world.
Thank you. Kevin Tachi, questions for the candidates.
I know the state has invested money in education. I believe the Student Opportunity Act was prior to the pandemic and was kind of put on hold. What is, this is a question for both of you, what is the state doing to bridge the gap in regards to the students who have had, who have regressed and had issues? Should there be some funding mechanism to help communities when it comes to post-pandemic education? Start with Kathy.
Sure. We did fund the Student Opportunity Act through the pandemic, so we were able to do that, which was great. And I'll go back to that mental health bill. There's a lot of money for the schools, for our secondary education, and for our elementary and high school, that will go into the schools for adjustment counselors that will be very helpful. And we can go back to question one, the fair share amendment, right? That money, the revenue of that money is going to go partly towards education. So there can always be improvements. You know, always they've lost, I call it the lost years, right? A lot of kids were doing it remotely, you know, without adult supervision. They had a really hard time. They had a hard time catching up. We did have other schools that were in person. Maybe they had a little benefit to that. But, you know, they need to get to where they need to be.
Same question, Eric.
I think the easiest thing for all of us to do along those lines would be to bring our schools back to reading, writing, arithmetic, basic civics, trades, like Kathy had mentioned, trades. I remember when I was in school, they got rid of all that stuff with Proposition 2.5. That was great. It was good. It was horrible for us. But let's just go back to basic schooling and actually teach the kids. That'd be a good start. I don't see that happening. My kids just finished with Plymouth. You know, the schools are all right there. But there's an inordinate amount of time absolutely wasted. And the stories that I heard from my children about some of these, like, social justice issues, that literally, that's the parents' job. Teachers should be in there, reading, writing, arithmetic, real school, so our kids can compete when they get out of these small towns, they go to the big cities, they go on an international stage, because we are falling way behind.
What about critical thinking, though? Because I think that's what goes into education these days, is it's more, not CRT, but trying to teach our youth to think a little bit beyond just the basics of education.
That's a question for individual teachers. I'm a graduate of Boston College High School. I'll tell you right now, that school forced me to think more than college ever did. It was way harder than college. That's the kind of learning that really should be present in our public schools. You know, I've seen children that my children have been friends with. They just get kind of moved along, and everything's great, like whatever, and they graduate. Critical thinking seems to be a lost art today. A lot of people that I've talked to just seem to lack that ability. And they don't talk about it. They're too busy putting funky colored flags up in our classrooms.
I want to give an opportunity as far as critical thinking. Do you feel that there's an issue with education? And do you feel that we've gone awry, that we should just stick to the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic?
Well, unfortunately, we can't just stick to the basics, right? These students are coming into school with issues, food insecure, so many issues that our teachers have never had to deal with. So they can't just teach the basics. I'm sure they would like to teach the basics, but they're coming in with all sorts of problems with these children that they have to deal with. So that's a little unreasonable to think. But critical thinking, we all need to, like, to reason, we need to build consensus. We're so polarized now. I think learning to build consensus between our children is very important. So yeah, life skills, right? We also need life skills. It's not just reading math and history. It's learning life skills so you can move on when you get out of school and decide, do you want to go to school? Do you want to go to a trade school? How are you going to enter the job industry? What are you going to do? Those are all important things that they are not all kids are getting from home, from their parents. There's a lot of kids that are being raised by their grandparents right now. So I think it's important that they have it somewhere. And right now, it's our teachers. Okay.
Charles Matthewson.
Eric, when did you graduate from BCI?
1990.
You're ahead of my son. Do you trust the voting process, Kathy Lenatra?
I trust the voting process, yes, and I worked very hard to make sure that people have access to vote.
How?
So we can send that in and vote by mail. We have early voting. I will say that I did vote against same-day registration. I think there's a lot of pressure on our town clerks, and that would probably send them over the edge, most of them, and they need more funding for that. But, you know, access to voting is a right for everyone that's here, right? I was at a little neighborhood recently, and we were talking about voting, and they're like, we don't know where to go. And I'm like, you don't know where to vote. I'm like, well, you should be able, you can vote by mail, you can vote early. They didn't know that. So they weren't voting. So their voices weren't being heard. And that's why they wanted to meet with me, because they felt their voices weren't being heard. So one way for everybody's voice to be heard is to vote.
Eric, do you trust the voting process?
I used to. There should be a chain of, not a chain of command, but they actually have
custody.
Chain of custody, yes. There should be a chain of custody. There's no reason people can't go and vote. And there's some people that obviously physically can't go and vote. We already have process for that. Mail-in voting, Jimmy Carter and I forget the other guy's name, they did a thing on making voting more accessible across the board. The number one takeaway from their report, it's like an 80-page report, was that mail-in voting in particular is ripe for fraud. And 10 years ago, the Democrats said it and the Republicans said it. Now it's, oh, it's mail-in ballots. Like, if people can go out and get their COVID shot, they can go to the polls. And they should all show an ID. Every single person, whether it's a driver's license or some other form of ID, they should all have an ID.
Do you know of any instances of voter fraud?
Specifically that I've actually seen?
Or read, or heard.
I've read all kinds of instances of voter fraud. Stuff in the mail-in ballot boxes. You know, there was thousands of people filed affidavits after the 2020 election that said they saw something. I don't know what it was, but affidavits, legal evidence.
Kathy, voter fraud?
Firsthand, I know nothing of voter fraud.
Secondhand, thirdhand?
I don't know, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
What difference will it make to the typical constituent in your district if you get elected? What difference will it make to them? Kathy?
It'll make a large difference. I'll be able to continue the work that I've been doing. I'll be able to connect them to the resources that they need. Constituent services, their voices are heard when they're with me. And we'll continue with that.
Okay. Eric, same question. What to the typical voter in your district, you get elected, what difference would it make?
I hope it gives them a little bit of hope. I really do. As a Republican, going into this legislative body, it's an uphill battle. You know, I'll be a very small percentage, so it'll be difficult, but I'll speak what I believe to be the truth and what I believe is in their best interest, and I'll vote the same way. I'll vote what I believe is in their best interest. And I will actually, I'm going to take a shot at Kathy here. I'll actually be the representative. She's virtually voted Speaker of the House like 98% of the time. So is she representing me or Ron Mariano? It's a very important question.
Kathy, I'll give you a minute to respond to that.
Sure. Well, you're going to vote in their best interest, so you're saying what their best interest is, where I listen to what they have to say and I vote with my constituents. There's been several times I've voted against the speaker, if you've really looked.
So I vote. All the time.
Well, but if you look at the whole body, how many times have been unanimous? So it's not just because I'm a Democrat. It's because we build consensus. We reach across the aisle from each other, and we build consensus when we vote.
Okay. Kevin Tachi, questions?
Let's talk a little bit about renewable energy, whether you are for it or against it, whether it's offshore wind farms, whether it's windmill like a couple that they have in Kingston, or solar. Eric.
I think renewable energy is great in a targeted fashion. To put those windmills out in the ocean is a horror show. It's a failed science experiment. We got two in Hull that don't work. One hasn't worked for like coming up on 3 years. We got one in Gloucester. The blade fell off a couple of weeks ago in Blackburn Industrial Park. We got an array down off of Block Island that they can't keep working for more than like 1 or 2 days at a time. It's been there for years. Just took one down in Kingston at a tremendous cost. So if we're having these problems, and the array down in Block Island's a little different. It's already on the water, but like they can't get the ones in Hull working. You're going to send a ship out in the middle of a storm to work on one of these colossal wind turbines on George's Bank or on Jeffrey's Bank or out in the middle of the Gulf of Maine? And keep in mind the change for these four. I'm running out of time. I'll get back to that. I'm sorry.
Well, let me ask you this, a follow-up. Do you feel that the way the state is going for renewable energy, that it's sustainable? Is it sustainable with the plan that they have? And if you could have any say or share any insight, what would that be?
So the Biden administration's goal for renewable energy, deliverable renewable energy by 2030 is 30 gigawatts, right? 30 gigawatts. New York City consumes 40 on a daily basis. If you were to take all the cars and switch them all to electric, think of each car as like a little generator. It comes out to be about 36,000 gigawatts. 280 million cars, 180 horsepower, convert the kilowatts to horsepower. 36,000 gigawatts. Where are they going to put those windmills and solar panels? Maybe we should talk to people like Holtec and say, hey, instead of making yourself look like jerks, dumping this in the water, why don't you do the right thing, do it clean, and we'll talk about maybe dealing with some more nuclear power plants, put up some new reactors, something that will actually generate the power our society, our culture, and civilization needs.
Renewable energy, Kathy, get your thoughts on it. The offshore wind farms, any of the windmills we may have around the South Shore in your district, or solar?
I actually look at three windmills from where I live. They're privately owned. But the one in the town had to be taken down at a high cost. I thought it was put up maybe too early. Maybe there wasn't enough research at the time. But everything evolves, and we have to do something, right? I have solar on my house. Most of the houses in my neighborhood have solar. That makes a big difference. Offshore wind's going to make a big difference to some things. And I know the fishing industry feels that it may hurt the fishing industry, so we've put money into that for a study to make sure that it doesn't. We've thought about that with all our legislations. We've put that in mind. But we do need to do something as we see the way everything's going.
The way the plan is, though, is it sustainable in your eyes as a state rep?
Is it sustainable? Well, everything, like I said, everything evolves, right? So we need to keep learning more and more. We can't just put it up and walk away. Okay. We can't do that. And it is going to bring in some more jobs, too.
Mr. Mathewson?
Kathy Lenatra, who influenced your political philosophy the most and how?
Oh, my gosh, Charlie, there's so many. But I would have to say former Senate President Terry Murray. She's my mentor today. I talk to her on a weekly basis. She's been amazing. There's another, the leader of the House, a majority leader, who just left. Claire Cronin is now the U.S. Ambassador to Ireland. She's one of my mentors as well. There's quite a few. I hope I don't hurt anyone's feelings by bringing up those two.
So how did they influence you?
Terry Murray, she really broke the glass ceiling, didn't she? You know, she made me feel that I could go as far as I want. And that's really important. And not only is it important for me, it's important for my daughter. So I think that's important. And she is She reached across the aisle, too. She wasn't just one way. She listened to everybody and what everybody's concerns were. And again, consensus building. That's my theme, right, is to build consensus. Because not everyone's going to get their way. But if you can build consensus, that's the way I really feel it should be. And Claire was the same way.
Eric, Moschino, Moschino, sorry.
Yeah. Thinking of the cherries.
Yeah, I know. Who influenced your political philosophy and how? And not your sister, Joan, someone else.
Joan's actually helped me a lot. We have amazing discussions, believe it or not. But for me, it was mostly reading. Little books like The Federalist Papers, The Constitution, reading about the process they undertook to come up with the Constitution. And that was, you know, reaching across the aisle. There was some serious compromise made where people understood there's a greater good. They needed to come up with a document that would work and would be resilient. The greatest working document in history. So reading about those sorts of things, that's what influenced me.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go to our lightning round now. And remember, these are questions we ask where we either want a yes or no answer or two sentences tops. Kevin Tanachi, lightning round question. Lightning is quick.
I'm going to defer to you.
Okay, you know what I'm going to start with? Plymouth County government, stay or go? Kathy
Absolutely
Lenatra.
Stay. They were lifesavers during the pandemic with the Opera and CARE funds.
Okay.
That was two sentences.
Stay or go, Plymouth County government?
Don't know enough about it.
Okay. Kevin Tachi.
In your opinion, is the pandemic over, yes or no?
Eric?
Absolutely over.
Kathy?
I think that COVID's here to stay.
Nobody can say yes or no.
Okay.
Charlie, question.
It's a strange district. What's your favorite spot in it, Kathy?
Well, that's a tough question. My favorite spot in the whole district,
Lightning.
Six towns?
In the whole district,
Lightning.
I know.
Oh, God. Braes Beach.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say.
Eric?
Plymouth Waterfront.
Okay. What did you hoard during the pandemic? And be real. Don't give me an Eddie Haskell answer. Don't say, like, good memories. No. Say something like toilet paper or ice cream. Okay, let's be real. Kathy Lenatra, what did you hoard during the pandemic?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Yes, you do. Come on, just share.
Are you going to say wine? Is that
no.
what you think I'm
no.
going to say?
Oh, all right. Is that your answer?
No, I don't really think I hoarded. Oh, like toilet paper and that type
yes,
of thing?
Yes. So it's toilet paper and wine? Remember, this is lightning round.
I know. Oh, gosh.
What's still in your basement?
Oh, paper towels.
Okay, there
yeah,
you go.
There you go.
What did you hoard during the pandemic?
Water.
Okay.
It's important, Charlie.
Absolutely. Let's go to final statements. And again, we're going to switch the order from which we started. Let me see what we started with Eric, then we went to Kathy. So we're going to start with Kathy and then go to Eric. 1 minute.
Great. Thank you. Thank you to WATD and Area 58 for the opportunity to have this conversation tonight. And thank you all that who tuned in to listen. As I've said over the course of the evening, I'm proud of my record of results as a state representative. We've been through some tough times, but I know we're moving forward stronger than ever. With new attacks on our rights and democracy and an uneven economic recovery, this election couldn't be more important. I hope I can count on your support as I build on my record of fighting against climate change, protecting reproductive rights, delivering real funding and benefits for our communities, and advocating for a fair economy for everyone. Before stepping into this role, I spent years in public service for my community, and I understand that people expect results. It has been an honor of my life to serve as a state rep and to make a real difference in the lives of so many constituents who sought help. I'm Kathy Lenatra, and I humbly ask for your vote so I may continue this important work. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Kathy Lenatra's closing statement. Now we'll go to Eric Moschino, your closing statement.
Well, thank you all for having me. It's pretty interesting and kind of terrifying at the same time for a first-timer. But now I'm going to go off something Kathy said here. Climate change. Call Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary and see how much sea level has risen in the past 21 years. Zero. Consensus isn't the way maybe politics should be done. But science isn't about consensus. We need to go to facts. The pandemic, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't COVID. It was disinformation. COVID's real. Don't get me wrong. It's real. But we need to talk about the actual facts of all this stuff. Who it's affecting. Who it's really affecting. People with comorbidities, typically four or more. You know, is the pandemic over? No. The pandemic of disinformation isn't over. We need to go to facts. Keep people out working. Keep our rights up foremost in everybody's mind. And I just say, beyond that, thank you, Eric Moschino. I hope you vote for me, and I'll give you the best I can.
Thank you very much. You've just heard both candidates for the 12th Plymouth District. We're going to pop this up on our website. You can listen to it to your heart's content, 959WATD.com. I know Area 58 Cable, you folks are going to have this playing as well. We want to thank you. We want to tell people, get out there and vote on November 8th. Of course, WATD will have complete election results. And I want to thank our own Kevin Tachi for joining us, Charles Mathewson, Lenny Rowe for timing, Larry for engineering. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a vote. I'm Christine James. Thanks for listening. 95.9 WATD.
WATD FM Marshfield. WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9 WATD.com.